Praise the Lord. Well, we are rich in faith. We ought to be rich in all of God's things that He's got for us, because He keeps spreading a table for us to eat from. We ought to be just fat little butter balls. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God today, isn't it? You glad you're a Christian? You glad you love the Lord? Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God today. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to a mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir, yes. I didn't know it today. Big days. Praise the Lord. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? The word of the Lord just precious. Gets better all the time, doesn't it? We certainly appreciate the man of God that declares unto us the truth of the word of God. Men of truth, I appreciate them, don't you? They're scarce. They're scarce in the world that we live in. Men of truth are very rare commodities anymore. And I want you to know I certainly appreciate the one that the Lord has placed us under. Do you appreciate that this morning? Amen. We just give roses, try to make people feel good while they're alive, can hear what we're saying about them, but we're so blessed to have this assembly that we have. You brothers and sisters that make up this assembly, you're everyone loved and appreciated, and may you always know that. May you always feel that. It's easy to feel left out a lot of times. It's easy to feel neglected a lot of times. But I'm going to tell you something. Nobody never speaks to you, don't mean they don't love you. We want you to know we love you. Let's just say that together. We love you. We love all of you. Now give the Lord a good hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Brother Wade, all I want you to get ready to take us to the Lord in prayer this morning as we look at these prayer requests. Sister Barbara grabbed a call this morning wanting to share a testimony with you. They, of course, had planned to be in service this weekend, but the weather in West Virginia is quite contrary at this time, so they couldn't make it. But on Friday morning, Brother Burr had left home and went someplace, and Sister Barbara got very, very sick. Thought she was either having a stroke or a heart attack. She didn't know which, but she just felt like this is my time to leave. And she said she was reminded of Brother Donnie saying, there'll be times I'm not around to pray for you. There'll be times you'll have to call on God for your own self. And we all do that occasionally, don't we? When we can't do nothing else, we just call on the Lord. And we ought to do that. But she began to call on the Lord, and God came on the scene. And with a matter of 2 minutes, she was completely well. And she just wanted you to know that she appreciates you and all the prayers that you prayed for her and Brother Burt. We love the Grabley family, don't we? Give them a nice hand this morning, if you would. Praise the Lord. Sister Sandy Baggett has an unspoken prayer request she'd like for you to pray about with her today. Sister Sue Miller says, I've been having trouble with irregular heartbeat and elevated blood pressure for about a month. Would appreciate your prayer. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Sue Miller, that the Lord would just be mindful of her and give her complete healing in her body. Want to pray for Sister Connie Badillo this morning. She has a very bad migraine headache today, so we want to remember her. Also, Brother Joel Moyer and his family. We want to certainly continue to hold them up to the Lord in their legal battles and sicknesses and different things, that the Lord would just be mindful and give them peace in their lives. Brother Steve Bryce sends this in. Please ask the church to pray for my 90-year-old mother. She is experiencing fluctuations in her blood pressure from very high to very low. She will value each and every prayer, so we want to remember that prayer request today. Pray for Sister Christine Baker, who was admitted to the Johnson City Medical Center last night for tests on her heart and her back. I believe also today they're going to be running some tests, so let's remember her as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Frank Williams, who has a bad cough and cold. Also, Sister Jackie Williams not feeling well. Let's remember those folks this morning. Brother Kevin Kitchen from Brevard, North Carolina, says, I would appreciate your prayer this morning as I am very sick. I consider Happy Valley to be my home church and have streamed for many years. Current circumstances prevent me from attending, but I really love and appreciate my brothers and sisters at Happy Valley and greatly appreciate all that's done to allow myself and other streamers from around the world to join these wonderful services in spirit. Thank you, Brother Kevin Kitchen. So, see how blessed we are? We get to be here. You get to be in church this morning. We're so blessed. Amen. Just not scolding you, but just let us never take coming to church for granted. It's a tremendous privilege to get to come. Emily Potter's ribs have separated from the muscle and causing great pain during her pregnancy. Brother West sends that in, so we certainly want to pray that the Lord would intervene in that situation. Pray for two uncles of Sister Becky Lynch. They're both in the hospital in Kentucky. Both are not expected to live, and they need her prayers. Also pray for her mother, who is having a difficult time dealing with this situation of her son. So remember that. Brother Aaron McCoy sends this in. Says, my dad has had colon cancer now for over a year or so. He flew to Mexico for treatments and had an MRI done. The MRI showed that the cancer is shrinking, and he wants to give God all the glory and honor, and thank you for your prayer. So praise the Lord for that this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, let's go ahead and give him one more good hand clap of praise this morning. He's worthy. Brother Wade, you come. Certainly appreciate Brother Wade Alton and his family, don't we? I told Brother Wade every time I see him, I said, you are a family. It just makes a good church a better church. He gets embarrassed or leaves. I didn't say that to embarrass him, but I sure appreciate Brother Wade Alden. Don't you? You're a real brother, buddy. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you and praise you, Father, for another opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord God. We thank you for the service that we was in last night, Lord God. We thank you for our pastor, Lord God, you've given us, Lord Jesus. We ask you strengthen him, encourage him, Lord God, for the days ahead. Strengthen and encourage each and every one of us, Lord God. We thank you for every situation that we go through, every test and trial, Lord God. We know that you're there to lead and guide and direct our paths, Father God. We thank you for your healing touch, Lord God. As I got prayed last night for my neck, Lord Jesus, for the headaches, I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you already took care of it, Lord God. And I give you the preeminence and the glorification right now before everybody, Lord God. And I thank you for the Gravely, Sister Gravely's testimony, Lord God. We know that you're still on the throne. You never leave us or forsake us, Father God. And we thank you, Father God. Every prayer request that went up here, Lord Jesus, that Brother Louis spoke, Father, we know that every situation, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord God. Your arm is not too short to reach down to touch each and every one according to your will and purpose in their lives, Father God. We ask you to bless the remaining part of this service. We love you and appreciate you. And we ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Appreciate you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today, we want to welcome you. We're glad to have you. Let's give our visitors a nice hand today, if you would. Praise the Lord. All of our streamers, we want to say God bless you as you stream this service. May you just be revived in your heart today during this worship service here at the church. Let me make some announcements. Sister Ryan, are you here in the building? If you'd come onto the platform, we're going to try a song this morning. That she was here Wednesday night and didn't get to be here, but we're going to try to do this song this morning. Some people that were here Wednesday night, you'll remember it. The rest of you, it's real easy to learn. Shine, Jesus, shine. Could you put that on the screen for us, brothers? Let me make these announcements. Brother West says, a teen, young adult Bible study tomorrow night from 6 until 8 p.m. in the fellowship hall. So remember that. If your family has an upcoming high school or college graduate, and would like their picture and announcement on the lobby graduate screen, please submit hard copies or digital copies by email to the library or Brother Bert and Sister Jill Thomason. So remember that, high school or college, if you want your pictures. Now, due to several reasons, the youth banquet will be postponed until later in the summer, if possible. There was a limited number of youth to sign up for the current date, and it was determined that the small number signed up would not make it feasible to have the banquet at this present scheduled date. All those who would have that you have prepaid, you can come by the library for your reimbursement. So remember that. Remember that. Please announce Sister Caitlin, Brother Seth's wedding shower today at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome, women and men alike. You're all welcome. Now, just you may know somebody that would be interested in this right here. Next Saturday morning, from 8 until 2 down here at Sinking Creek Baptist Church in the gymnasium, they've got a massive clothing line for men, women, boys and girls, shoes, shirts, suits, household items, toys. If you know a needy family that would like to go by and stock up, and it's all free. There's no limit as to what you can get. If you know somebody that would be qualified and want to do that, next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock from 8 till 2 down here at Sinking Creek Church, they have those items available for you. So I went by and got me some of them. And I'm proud of them too. Praise the Lord. You ever get too big to wear hand-me-downs, you're too big for your britches. I don't care who you are. Praise the Lord. Well, that didn't cost you a dime, but it's worth saying. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song. Where's Sister Ryan at? Over there she is. Boys, turn her microphone up real loud because she's got a tiny little voice and a tiny little body to go with it. So turn her up real, real loud so she can sing this song. But you know what? It's time to shine. Let Jesus shine in your life. Is that right? Somebody said, well, it's just me and my four. Well, you're going to have an awful lonesome time in heaven. An awful lonesome time, because it's going to be a big place. People you never dreamed of is going to be there. People you wrote off years ago, they're going to be there. God's got a variety of people and he's going to save them. Everybody can't be bribed, but aren't you glad you are what you are? Shine, Jesus, shine. How many of you heard her? Four people heard what she was saying. Turn it up, as not, don't make it deafening, but turn her up some more. You know those other verses, Sister Ryan? Let's sing them. You're at your very best when you're under so much pressure that you don't know what to do. Say it, sister, you can do it.
Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me.
Here we go. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Fill the plain
with the Father's glory.
Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire.
Glory, the
Lord, God of
nations, with grace and mercy. You can be seated. We have a couple of songs. Brother Aaron is going to come at this time and sing for us. Certainly appreciate Brother Aaron and Sister Lindsay Gilruth. They make a good church better too. Amen. Brother Caleb, Brother Brandon, and I believe Brother Harry, ever how they have that put together, if those brothers would come on to the platform and get ready to sing. Appreciate our singers, don't we? Amen.
Take these hands and lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. See, I have nothing without you. Take my voice, pour it out, let it sing the songs of mercy I have found. For I have nothing without you. And all my soul needs is all I have nothing without you. my body, build it up. May it be broken as an offering of love. For I have nothing, I have nothing without you. Let it glorify all that you are worth. I am nothing, I am nothing without you. Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Lord of all, His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole world trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Yeah. Jesus Messiah.
His grace has allowed us to know Him that way. That's really where we ought to be grateful, isn't it? Song of Solomon, chapter 6, if you would, today. Chapter 6, verse 1. Yeah, it's better. Let's read of the supernatural transformation that takes place by what the Messiah did when He came to the earth. To be able to take those of us that were born with a nature that was so far away from God, and born with a sinful nature by which we could never even seek God on our own. If you're not convinced, I hope that you are by the time the service is over today, that you could not seek God. You didn't have the ability, actually. If God had never started drawing with you, you'd still be going that downward path to this very day. It'd be worse, probably. But it was the grace of God that initially started dealing with your heart. That's something that you thought you did. One of these days, you're going to find out it wasn't you after all. It was Him. Whether is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whether is thy beloved turned aside that we may seek Him with thee? You know, she's now maturing, and she's no longer with a human jealousy, don't like Him saving other people other than her own kind. So now she can be able to share with others His goodness and kindness, knowing that she, by doing this, is not going to be threatened at all. My beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessings on your word today. Speak to us, I pray, those things which you alone can do. In Jesus' name, amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. So when we come to this world, lost, away from God, out of fellowship with God, and yet something down inside of us that somewhere down in time begins to hunger, as we say, thirst for God. Something begins to move on our souls, our deepest, innermost being, more than our passions, more than our human makeup, and something that we can't really even explain. And then we begin to start answering to that and trying to find out what it is that we're really looking for, thirsting for. Some of you went by the way of drinking, some of you by the way of smoking and illicit sex and all kinds of different things that you tried to satisfy it with, a thirst within you. But one day, the supernatural power of God began to funnel you or direct you in a way that was beyond natural means. For some, it was more of a church spirit than it was really the Spirit of God. But you came through that, and you finally started going in the right direction or the right channel, that you realized that even religious things would never satisfy that longing within you. then something must happen in order for you to be able to enter into this great place of fellowship that we just read about, for Christ to be able to come into you. Then you are born, of course, with this nature which is unregenerate. Your first husband, which had the rule over you, was your natural nature. As I asked you last night, how many of you chose to be born a sinner? Of course, none of you did. You come to this earth without your free moral agency. You were born a sinner without your free moral agency. You were born a Reagan or a Babb or a Parker or a Horn or whoever you were born without your free moral agency. Boy, somebody's getting nervous already. You were born without ever choosing to be into a certain family. You were born to be a sinner. Would any of you in your right mind chose to have been a sinner? Really? Why? Causes you all kinds of pain and trouble and difficulty, does it not? So you mean you were born a sinner and you never even had the choice? My, isn't that amazing? Now, how did that happen? Because the head of the human race made that choice for you. You will agree with that? The head of the human race made that choice for you. Then when you are born in that race, of course, you are born without the choice, and you come in that way. Now, Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, he refers to it as the inside of us that becomes mature and grows and gains dominance. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, the word knowledge here is gnosis, which is more than just understanding it from the head. But to the Jews, this type of knowledge was not only believing it from the head, but experiencing it from the heart. When the old man actually, when you begin to come toward God and we lead people to salvation, as we call it, and people get saved, they are not actually born again just whenever they start coming to God. But it is a process. As your natural birth was a process, when your mother's water broke, she did not say, well, the baby is born. Oh, the worst pain is yet to come. There's got to be blood, there has to be pain, there has to be sorrow, and there has to be delivery. And the thing that Satan has done to try to deceive the multitudes and masses of Christendom is to convince them when the water breaks spiritually around them that they are born again. So they feel something happening, they're pulled into the birth canal as it was, and the water breaks around them, and they become initially washed by a little bit of the regeneration of the water by justification, and they begin to think they're born again. So people go to call on them brother and sister, they join the church, they do all this and that, but they're not born again any more than I'm a hog today. They're just on their way to being born again. But Satan convinces them by false interpreters of the word that they're born again and they have eternal life. But yet we know that the new birth is consummated by a transfer of men. Those men are identified truly as old man and new man. The old man is that which you were born with without your own choice and without your own desire. The new man is that which is created by God, renewed after the image of him that created him. And actually, it comes right down to it. You didn't have a whole lot to do with him either. As a matter of fact, the creator that placed him there inside of you and did this great work is the one who is doing it. Just as your mother and father came together, mixing of the chromosomes and the DNA, they gave you your hair color, your eye color, your stature, even many diseases that you will inherit. It's there in you because of the deposit of your mother and father. Did you choose to be bald-headed, those of you who received this in your traits? Did you receive to be pudgy? Oh my goodness, I'm going to get in trouble. Did you receive to be skinny as a rail or whatever more? And I don't care how many herbs you take and what you try to do. Come on, friends, you might as well just say amen to it. A lot of it is in our DNA. And for some of you, you'll battle it your whole life. Brother Homer Longoria has never asked me for many things, but there's something he asked for me years and years ago. And I promised him if there was any way I could do it, I would grant his request. And that is, he requested my tapeworm. Now, I can eat bread, I can eat all kinds of things, and you know, so far, I'm 61, be 62 before long, so far it doesn't make me pudgy like other folks that I know that do. And it's not because I watch my weight and my physique and I do this and that and the other. As you can look at my brother Harry, which eats worse than I do, and you can see that he's the same way. So you know what it was? It was our DNA. That's right. And some of you, my goodness, you just fudge a little bit and it just seemed like you look at a Reese's cup and you gain weight. You look at donuts, you drive by Dunkin' and you actually gain weight driving by smelling it. Now, a lot of that, of course, is not because you wanted it to be that way, is it? It's because that much of that we received from our mothers and fathers. Now, if we will agree with that naturally, how much more spiritually is it that we receive by the new birth that which God gives to us, than if we can simply learn how to turn over to Him and allow Him to be able to manifest this in our lives? Cannot He do it? Certainly He can. Now, notice Colossians 3:10, and you put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We read this last night. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now notice the key to this verse as he opens it up. If any man, he doesn't say if any man believes on Christ, or if any man accepts Christ as his personal Savior. But if any man be in Christ. Now we do not get in Christ by accepting Him as our personal Savior. We do not get in Christ by going to church. We do not get in Christ by asking Him to forgive us of our sins. When we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, that's exactly what He does. He forgives us of our sins, and we have started our journey into a lifelong commitment of becoming what He wants us to be. But how do we get into Him? For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, and that is the new birth. That's right. Notice again now in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, Paul identifies it not only as an old man, but he identifies it as a nature. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So there was a part of you that was quickened, but there was a part of you that died. So was the same part that died the same part that quickened, or was the part that died still remain dead, and the part which has become quickened the new you? Glory. Notice now, you which were dead in sins. Oh, you say, but Brother Donnie, it was dead. That's right. It lay there dormant. It was dead in the identification that had not been born yet by the breath of God. Again, notice Ephesians 2:2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And notice he brings us all into that same category by nature in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Notice how he places you categorically now. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I love the way that he does not say we were children of wrath by seed. Glory. We were children of wrath by nature. You're talking about a program of God. Do you understand that if your soul had been identified, your identity would have come, dropped down through the loop of time when it broke from eternity into a time, and you would have been identified by seed as a worldly seed which could have never been regenerated. There wouldn't have been enough power in the blood of the Lord Jesus to have ever changed you from the identity of the representation that you would have had from the eternal. The blood of the Lord Jesus, as powerful and wonderful as it is, it can never change a serpent seed to a child of God. It can never redeem a church member which never had a deposit from the mind of God. It can save them, but it cannot redeem them, for only the elect are considered in redemption. Glory be to God. Notice this then, that he identifies our conversation and the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind. And even by nature, we're the children of wrath, even as others. Now, was our nature just like other sinners? Exactly like other sinners. And we were totally identified by nature to be sinners just like all the rest. We look the same. We talk the same. We cuss the same. We drunk the same kind of beer. We listened to the same kind of music. We acted the same way. Why? Because that nature which was in us was exactly like the one they had. That's why the devil must have thought, I've got the whole thing. I've absolutely sewed up the whole program of God. Amen. Because everybody wound up with the exact same nature, but everybody didn't wind up with the exact same seed. Now, notice this. The prophet tells us this, and he starts this back in the 50s, and he follows it all the way through with the entirety of the message. He says, when the worshiper is purged, when he is born again, when his old nature dies and a new nature sets in, then he becomes a part of God, a son of God. He gets new life, and the life is, the Greek word there is Zoe, which means the life of God. So you're born with a fallen nature. You love the world. You cater to the world. And this is why if the world is still in your nature, when the world is consumed, all the world will be annihilated. Those of a worldly nature will be destroyed because the world will be destroyed. So it's not just the cosmos out here, but those who have the world in their nature. This is why we must be born again. Again, question and answers. So when you're born, you're a sinner by nature. Not by representation now. Not by seed. But by nature. That's why you can remember to this day things that you did under that old nature. And they can still haunt you. Maybe music that you listen to and love, and you go through Walmart or Home Depot or wherever it is, and you hear them old songs, and they come right back to your memory, and with that memory is associated the dendrites in your brain, which built many, many members years ago, and maybe you'll go back to an old Beatles song or a monkey or a jackrabbit or whatever more you listen to because you acted like them and looked like them. And you go to back to all that stuff, and all of a sudden you're back in a prom, back in the 80s or the 70s or whenever it was. And now you remember your first cigarette. What was it? That old nature still left the impression on your memory bank. And that's why we fight our past so much, because the memory has been so imprinted by the old man who used to reside in this house. Oh, glory! But when we are born again and we receive a new nature, God forgives that and actually annihilates it, but the imprint is still on our memory. That's right. Now he said you're a sinner by nature, so there's nothing in the world you can do about it. There's nothing I can do to save myself or you to save yourself. It's what Christ did for us, oh my, in God, or what God did for us in Christ. Now this is the conversion though. Conversion is the Holy Spirit that moves the old nature out and the new nature comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. God is not interested in converting your old nature. The only thing it's fit for is to be killed. But friends, when you really think about it and look at it in reality, we have message preachers standing in the pulpit, and the majority of denominational preachers, they are preaching the conversion and the saving of the old nature. And the majority of Christendom, they are trying to live a Christian life with the old man still alive.
And this is why they can never become submissive to the word. No doubt there's people sitting right here today, and you have tried your best to live the word. You're trying your best to be a Christian. But the key is, my brother, sister, you're not trying to do it yourself. It's automatic if you've got the Holy Ghost. It automatically lives out of you because of the regeneration of what? Not the old man. God don't get the old man and smack him in the face at you a few times and say, I'm going to save you. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God says, lay him right here on the altar and let me kill him. Then I will quicken that predestinated seed, and from there will begin your new life. Amen. Hallelujah. With a divine nature. Conversion is the Holy Spirit that moves the old nature out and the new nature comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. Again, unconditional covenant. No man at any time ever sought God. Some of you need to let go of tradition that you think you done it. Some of y'all still Baptist or free wills. Come on now, you need to get converted. We're farther than Baptist. No man at any time or any age ever sought God. It's just vice versa. It's God seeking the man, not man seeking God. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. Is that right? The very beginning, man, when he fell from grace, his nature was changed. He ran from God and hid from God, and that's still his nature. You talking about a powerful statement? Listen to this. A man can never seek God while he's a sinner. This is why Satan was convinced, Brother Larry. He'd sewed up the whole program. He must have been totally convinced God will never regain man. Because once man falls, he has my nature, and God can never be able to receive him in that nature. But God let him know just about enough about the program of God to hang himself. You imagine him thinking, there's no man that can ever seek God. It's impossible. And God said, I agree. But nothing saying I can't seek them. Notice again the lamb and the dove. Indeed, if you want to be a Christian, just ask Christ. This is how complicated this is now. And he will take your old nature out and put a new nature in. Not save the old one. Dress him up, put a suit on him, put a tie on him. Quit drinking beer, quit smoking cigarettes part of the time. And he only listens to rock and roll whenever he's by himself, of course. Country and stuff, you know, because he puts on this facade of a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh my, then that old man on the inside, he gets all religious. Glory to God, I'll tell you one thing, the Bible said this and the Bible said that, hallelujah. And he goes to talk about, oh, but he's still a sinner. Yeah, he still looks at women and lusts after him. He still wants to do this and that and the other that ain't right. But yet he goes to church and he still pays his tithes and this and that and the other. But he's a Christian with the old nature. Oh my, come on, church. I don't want to be a Christian with the old nature. I want the old nature out. Don't you? I want that, I believe, by the grace of God. Many of us are sitting here today and that old man is dead. But the battle, we know it well enough to know the battle we are still engaged in is not the confrontation of the good nature of God on the inside of us, battling with the bad nature. We do not believe in two souls. There is not two souls in you. Absolutely not. Contrary to the word of God. But there was a nature in you which was vile and wretched and sinful and wrong. And when you got the new birth, God simply allows that nature to die and replaces that with a good, righteous, holy nature of the Holy Ghost. Which in reality is your portion of deity. He will take your old nature out, put in a new nature, then you don't have to impersonate anything. It's just your normal life that you're living. What is it? Automatic transmission. Notice again in Hebrews, your old nature died. The nature of the world, and you become a new creation. And your desires of that old life that had a beginning when God breathed breath into your nostrils, when you were born, that life of that carnal nature. God don't want to save him. He wants to kill him. But you see, the way people preach salvation, the way probably some of you sitting right here today believe it, is the old hog we catch around the pen. We bring her in, we put her in a shower stall or a tub, and we start washing the old girl down. And we scrub her, and we wash her, and we scrub her. She's flopping around and kicking and carrying on because she don't want to be sanctified. She don't see nothing wrong with mascara and Mary Kay and Maybelline. I mean, she kind of thinks it helps her. I agree, it probably looks good on a hog's face, but not a child of God. So we give her a scrub down and we wash her. We have to run her through several times because she smells so bad. But we get her done, and boy, we paint her toenails, and my, we really spiff up her nose a little bit and make it more pink, and we roll the hair around her big floppy ears, and my goodness, we turn her into a real message believer now. We set her right in the pew, and boy, she goes to saying, amen, and hallelujah, and glory to God. Until somebody comes around, and they smell like a mud hole of the world. And then all of a sudden, that big snout goes up in the air, and here she goes. All them counseling sessions, all them midnight prayer meetings, all that stuff. And she absolutely obliterates it all in about 15 minutes. Why? Because we washed her outside. We talked her into giving up this and that and the other. But she's still a hog. And it is her nature. God don't want to save your own nature. God wants to kill it. And God wants to give you a new nature, which is your new birth. Oh, glory to God. Your desires, that old life had in the beginning when God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils when you were born. The life of that carnal nature died. It had a beginning and it had an end. And it died, listen to this, and was done away with for how long? Forever. The old nature. God came in with the new nature. Then love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Apparently some of us needed a double dose of peace. Peace, patience, and meekness, and kindness that had entered and taken the place of malice, temper, hatred, emulation, strife. You see folks that are trying to live a Christian life and they still hate. And they shall have emulation and strife, and they cannot be kind, and so on and so on and so on. They're trying to be a Christian with the hog nature.
I don't see a bit of need in a preacher getting up there and preaching on what we have to wear. There ain't no sense in preaching against all that stuff. But you see, if you ever become born again, you ever really become born again, you don't have to have the preacher to stand up here all the time and hammering on you. Because that nature from inside of you witnesses that there's something out here of this world that is different from the world you're from.
You're born from that world. Oh, you'll need correction by the word. Of course you will. But there'll be something inside of you that'll say, amen, that's right. Now I'm just seeing it for the first time in my life. Why God wanted me to separate from the world and the things of the world. But as long as that nature of the world is in you and you're hearing preaching from another world, you sit there conflicting all the time. I don't see any need. Why did Brother Donnie keep on? I thought as he got older, he'd get softer, I guess, again. I figured when he got older, he'd come to a place, he'd quit preaching all that stuff. Only when I lose my mind, because the word still says it, the message still says it, God still requires it, and the saints still believe it. And just for public sake, is there any women in this church where I have personally come to you and told you that you have to wear dresses? Is there any women in this church that can stand, young or old, and say, I've come to your home, come to you in person, and said, you can't wear makeup, you can't do this, you've got to do this, I'm going to make you do this, that, and the other. Stand, if there are. So why are you women doing this? Because you want to. You see a need. We don't make you dress a certain way. We don't make you act a certain way. The deacons don't visit your house and tell you to do this. Amen. We're doing this because we believe it's the truth. You're not made to come here. You're not made to wear dresses. You're not made to stop cutting your hair. You do it because you feel the need to do it. Praise the Lord. Notice this. He says, Jesus became you, that you through his grace might become him. You who were going to hell, he took your place, that you might sit in heaven with him. Glory to God at his place. You who were a son of the devil by again, not by seed. He took the nature or the sin of your nature that you might become a son of God and sit in the heavenlies with him. So the new birth then brings the supernatural power of God into the human being, which Satan thought, as we said, could never have been accomplished and done. Not through reformation, not through books on how to become a Christian, on how to self-educate you and your wife and your family into trying to be a better person. A book on how to be a Christian for dummies. God replaces the nature. And then the nature from heaven automatically leans toward heaven. Notice this again. Every man's got to be born again. And this sinful nature killed in him. And a new man, oh hallelujah, a new man born in him, which is... Don't you understand the new man, the new person born in you, men, women, boys, and girls? It ain't you. It's Christ Jesus. It ain't your old husband, your old nature getting born again. It's not you being so much born again. It is the nature of Christ Jesus. Oh my, ain't this a wonderful quote? Every man's got to be born again, and the sinful nature killed in him. And a new man born in him, which is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Then you surrender yourself completely to Christ, and Christ comes in and writes. Christ comes in and writes a book of Acts through you. Ain't that powerful? Oh, my. Praise be to God. This is why he can look at you and marvel. This is why he looks at you and says, turn your eyes from me. I can't bear to look at it. It overwhelms me. It's not because of you as a person. It's not because you're so wonderful and so good. It's what he's done in you. He so marvels at his own work. Amen. There's people here perhaps in our audience that's never accepted this formula. They might belong to the church or something, but as far as receiving the Holy Spirit and being inoculated, a spirit in there that takes their old nature out and puts the new nature in. They've never did that yet. I pray thee, Father, that tonight they will receive it. An inoculation, a shot, which immunizes you from eternal separation. Notice again, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's the scripture, see, St. John 5:24, they believe it, they've accepted it. There's something happened to them. They become a new creature. They're a new nature. They're a new being, a new creature. The Greek word says new creation. It's a new creation. Has been recreated again from what you were to the image of the Son of God and a daughter of God. It's just an all. Listen to this. It's the greatest miracle that ever happened when a sinner can be made to become a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful when we see God heal cancer. It's wonderful when we see God do divine healing. Oh my, he done some right here last night. It's wonderful when we see him do that. But that is not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is when God can take a sinner that's born with that fallen, rotten nature, full of the love of sin and the debauchery of the world, and God, amen, takes that nature and it dies on the altar. It becomes crystallized with the sacrifice, and God gives birth to the seed life inside of your soul, and the Son of God is reborn in you. It's a greater miracle than the creation of the universe. It's a greater miracle than the creation of the sun. How many miracles are sitting here today? Praise God. I'm going to read it again. It's the greatest miracle that ever happened when a sinner can be made to become a Christian. Boy, when the devil goes to getting down on you and just aggravating you, just remind him, shut up, Satan. I'm the greatest miracle that God ever made. I am a walking, talking miracle. I was a sinner by nature. I was lost by nature. I was of the world. I love the world. But I am a miracle. You must be born again. It's a great, powerful sermon that he preached in 1961. It really focuses on the new birth and the life that he has at the time. But he brings it about in the sense of the nature, and about that old nature of dying and all of that. He says, what are you done then? After you have been died, then what are you to do? Then you are conceived anew. So something actually happens. Now, could it happen here today? A person come up to the altar and they really are ready? It could happen right here. It don't have to happen 6 months down the road. If they're really ready, and the Father is calling them, it can happen right there. In a moment of time, we can pray for them. That nature can be laid right on the altar of God. And God, right here in your sight, amen, right here in your sight, God absolutely annihilates that sin nature. But he can't let you walk away from the altar like that. Because you walked up with the nature. You've got to walk away with another one. Friend, it don't take 6 months. It don't take 6 years. Oh, Brother Donnie, I've been waiting. I don't know why God's taking so long. It ain't God taking so long. It's you. You're not willing to give this up or give that up or give that up. You're not willing to totally die and let go. God can do it in an instant just like that. And He cannot kill that nature and allow you to walk away without replacing that nature. So death, birth, and recreation can happen just like that. That was in you. You're there, you're crying, all your hands are raised. Whatever's going on, whatever emotion you're expressing, oh God, please help me, Lord. Lord, I need it, God. I've tried this, God. I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, you lay him up on the altar. You lay him up on the altar, and he crystallizes on the altar, and your nature dies with your sacrifice. And while you were there, and you say, oh God, something happened. I felt it. Oh God, something happened. You cannot walk away. You cannot walk away without the other part of the act of redemption taking place in you, which is God starting your new birth. You walk up with the nature of a hog. You walk away with the nature of a dove. So you spin around at the altar and you look at these people. They all look different. You go and stand in your pew where you were standing before you come up, standing in the very same spot, but it feels different. You're looking at me and I look different. Some of the words that I said were scalded your hide, and you really had to fight your temper from giving me a piece of your mind. Now you realize I was right and you was wrong. And now you're thanking God for me instead of being mad at me. Well, what in the world happened? Your nature died. And a new nature, oh, just like that. I mean, nature started being formed inside of you at that instant. Oh, I hope you're going to preach with me this morning. Then you are conceived anew. You are conceived anew. You was first conceived in iniquity. Now you're conceived in something new. What is it? The living Word. Oh, that changes it now, doesn't it? Now we're through the struggle after seeing what you've got to do. Now what happens? You're conceived anew in the living Word. What is it? The Word becomes alive in you. So what Word is it? Is it a bunch of scriptures? Matthew 24:24, Luke 17:30, Malachi 4:5-6. What is it? It's your Word. It's you, which was laying there, held dormant by the predominancy of your old man. Your old man kept it at bay. They could not live at the same time. But once the old man is dead, this makes a way for the new nature for you to be born again. What is it then? It's no longer a dead seed. But it's a living Word. Amen. You heard from your theophany. You're conceived anew. You imagine that fast it happens. So a person dies. Their nature just, it's dead. And they say, you know, I've never felt like this before. And it's emotion, but it's not emotion. It's feeling, but it's not feeling. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's something deeper within me. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. Lord, this is wonderful. Just the death of the old man's enough to have revival about. But don't go back to your seat yet. What you need is the birth now of a new man. So the deposit of God, which was breathed into you when you took the breath of life, and lay there dormant for decades. Now all of a sudden, it's conceived. Aren't you glad it don't take 9 months? 9 years, 90 years. You're conceived, birthed, come out spanking new, breathing the breath of life. Just like that. God births you, spanks you, breathes into you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and sends you on your journey in a matter faster than you can blink your eye. And there the devil is standing up thinking, what in the world? What in the world? He said, don't go up there. Don't you go up there. They'll laugh at you. They'll make fun of you. Don't you go up there. Will you head up there? And, oh God, I've been up here 3,835 times, but I'm going once more. I'm going to try once more. Today may be your day. And you walk up there, Lord, I'm ready to die. Lord, I'm ready to die. And sure enough, God said, yeah, you sure are. Congratulations, death. And God kills that old nature at the same time when the Spirit of God moves on you and the seed of life inside of you takes out. Wow! Oh! That little gene of God jumps to life. It's born by the Spirit of God. And you say, where'd the devil go? Where'd the devil go? You died and were conceived and were born and took the breath of eternal life right there. Oh, right there, right there, right there, right there. God changed transmissions. Now, for those of you that know what I'm talking about, I was speaking about the standard transmission last night and the automatic of you trying to make yourself be a Christian. Oh, my clutch. Oh, that's the brake. Oh, sorry, it's the wrong one. Brake light. Or pulling it down in D for deity. And let the transmission do the rest. You're struggling to live right. You're struggling with cigarettes. You're struggling with habits. You're struggling with this and that. Time to change transmissions. The Word becomes alive in you. You see, friend, all of those folks who left our message, this never happened to them. And it still happened to them. Oh, they're free. They're out here doing whatever they want to do. They're still not born again. I don't care how much they scream and holler. Because if you're ever born again, the Word comes alive in you. Somebody talked them into the message up here, and somebody talked this out of it. But if you're ever born in the Word, how can you talk you out of it? Oh, Brother Donnie, they'll take our books one day. They'll take our Bibles one day. Well, if that's what it has to be, so be it. They'll never take my Word out of me because it's born in me. Notice he said, where once you couldn't see that, now you do see it. So in order, if you're born again and got a new parent, then you got... So somehow or another, I could be reborn again here this morning humanly. And I would be born, say, a Bab. Then I would find myself acting like Brother Jimmy. I see his son Scotty, which is my son-in-law. And I see things about Brother Jimmy and I see things about Sister Linda that's in Scotty. I look at my granddaughters, Ashley and Courtney, and I see things about Scotty that's in them. And things about Lish that's in them. Where'd they get it? Did they study and mimic? They're not like little turkeys. Little turkeys, you know, and deer and all that, they learn from watching their mother. So the mother puts the ears up, an alarm sign. They watch that white flag go up. They don't know what it means yet, but they're out of Dodge. Because to them, that white tail up, that means there's danger somewhere. So they learn it. But we receive things by nature. So if I was reborn, then my little quirks about being a Reagan, my little oddities that I have of being a Reagan, natured so much like my father, so much like my mother, on the Schultz side for my mother, on the Reagan side for my daddy, I would no longer have that at all because I was reborn a Bab. Then with Bab mentality, I would look at the Reagans and think, y'all are strange. You mean you all eat cake and ice cream for breakfast? And we say, yeah, man, yeah. And you as a Bab, you say, ugh. Me and Scotty talks about it all the time. I say, Scotty, I just don't understand. You go through the drive-thru and you get you a piece of bread and you get you a piece of meat for breakfast. I go through Sonic. I get me a piece of bread, two pieces of bread, and a piece of meat. Mine's called a hamburger. Yours is called a sausage biscuit. Oh, Brother Donnie, you eat a hamburger for breakfast? Absolutely. I ain't eating no stinking egg. I hate them things. Oh, you do drink milk. What are you talking about? You ever see me drinking milk? Commit me to Woodridge. You know I'm in bad shape. But if I was born a bab, all of a sudden, I'd go through Dunkin'. And I'd pull up there and I'd say, give me a macho latte, whatever that stuff is. Well, y'all know what I mean. And give me egg sandwich. Give me a triple egg sandwich. But when I pull through Dunkin', I get a Boston cream donut. Come on now. Got more Reagans in here, I say. But if I was reborn. Now see, this is what I don't understand. My daughter, Alicia, she was born a Reagan, but the more she's around Scotty, the more babbish she becomes. So we come to the world and we're hogs, born in slop. Look, friends, think of your families. I know we don't like to talk about it, but think about where many of our families are. Our siblings, our parents, our uncles, this and that and the other. Look at the kind of lie Laodicea is producing out of them. Look at what these churches are producing out of them. Oh my goodness. And if it were not for the grace of God, you and I would be the same way. Because much of that come by the upbringing that we had. Much of it runs in our family. But why are you that way, Brother Larry? Because you were born again of another parent, another nature. Oh, hallelujah. So you pull through heaven's drive-through and you say, give me a seven-course meal. I want a Malachi 4, a Luke 17:30, a Revelation 10 meal of the word. Feed me rapturing food for rapturing grace. Some of your natural family pulls right in through the drive-thru behind you. Give me a Pentecostal burger and shake. Give me Methodist French fries. Give me this and that and the other, and I'll be satisfied till next week. Why? You got a new daddy? And your daddy is the Word. So he puts the nature in you to crave after him. So you're not feeding on the failing words of a man, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So he puts an appetite in you to desire to feed on him, the Word. Oh my. So in order, if you're born again, you got a new parent. Then you got a new nature. The old nature's dead, and you got a new nature. A new nature, a new being, a new creation. Nature of your Father. Now you see, unlike us humans, we have to have both mama and daddy. God ain't doing it that way. Because you got both mama and daddy, divided chromosomes. Divided DNA. But what if you could design a program where you could give birth to children and you would replicate yourself in each birth? And it wouldn't be half God and half church, half God and half your pastor, but if it was all God. Come on, that church, don't get quiet on me. You know where I'm going. Dogs give birth to. Horses give birth to. Horses. Cows give birth to. Cows. And if God gave birth, what would he give birth to? A knothead? A mistake? A nobody and nothing?
deity gives birth to deity.
Notice this again, paragraph 100. And if you still love the things of the world, you're deceived. Your sacrifice hasn't been accepted. Your nature hasn't been changed. Now, do you know what it means to be born again? Your nature's changed. You become a new creature. You've got to die first and then be born again. So what's born again? The you which never did it in the first place. Now the old nature was truly, truly guilty. And God might forgive him, but still Satan would say, that's my child. I fathered that nature. So God says, fine. I have no problem with it. I will simply kill your firstborn, Pharaoh. So what do we want to do, friends? We want to bring this thing subject until the body change arrives. You're never going to perfect this. Forget trying. Subjection is what you want for this right here. Let me have a few more minutes, can I? We are Christians by birth. That makes us new creatures. Uh-oh. In our old nature, we could never be Christians. Amen. And that's where the majority of Christendom is trying to live. Profess, Brother Terry, Christianity, even some folks around the message. They're trying to be Christians in their old nature. That's why everything is a struggle. So they get in their Christianity of mobility and they try to start it. So whenever they do, they turn it on and they go, no, you got to push the clutch in. Oh, push the clutch in. Right. So here's grace. G-R-A-C-E, close now. Okay, now what do I do, Daddy? You push the clutch in and then you put your foot on the brake and kind of turn your foot sideways where you can give it a little gas at the same time. Okay, I got this. Praise God. What do I do then? Go up to the altar, give the preacher your hand, and tell him you want to sign the church roll. You're tired of being a sinner, you want to get saved? Okay, so I put my foot on the clutch, and then I put the heel of my shoe, actually like on the brake, right? This is what you're saying? Yeah. And then you turn the toe like of your foot over like on the gas, because this whole thing is hard to get going. So you have to kind of, you know, give it a little gas at the same time. So push the clutch in, because whenever you turn that, the transmission is engaged all the time. So the clutch actually sits between the bell housing and the flywheel on the motor, and then it's the clutch which reciprocates and pulls it apart, so you're unable to change the gears. Okay, I got it. So then I put my foot on the clutch, and then I put my, right. Okay, I got it. Not that much. Okay, now, ease out. Ease out. Now it's a 3-speed on the column. So you got first, and you got second, but you have to watch it up there because second and reverse is almost in the same place. That's why a lot of folks find it so easy to backslide. Woo! Because second and reverse is in the same place, nearly. So they jump ship under sanctification, the second gear of grace. I mean, the second work of grace. And then, oh, they're out of here. I can't give up my music. I can't give up my Maybelline. I can't give up this, that, the other. Okay, so he's out on the clutch. He's out. Now, you young kids here, you don't know what I'm even talking about, do you? How many of you young kids, did y'all start learning on a straight stick? Two of you? Three of you. Lord have mercy. All right, I'm doing a manual transmission drive this evening. This message will mean more to you.
And the clutch engages. But it engages as you release the pedal. So as you release the pedal, then it starts coming against the flywheel, engages the transmission. And as it does, and now you got it. Got it in first gear. All right, you're doing good. You're doing good. You got to change gears. You're going to blow the motor up. Push the clutch in. No, let your foot off the gas. Some of you were an automatic when you were in the world. You just pulled it down in D for drunk. Or D for dope. And you just went and had a big time. Then when you start coming to church trying to get your life right with God, you've learned all these things and you got to fix this and straighten all that out. And most Christianity starts out as a standard shift. Bless Luther's heart, that's as far as they ever got, a straight shift. So did Methodist and so did Pentecost. But we finally moved into the token automatic age. So he struggled. Oh, I'm having a hard time with women. Oh, God of mercy. I just can't keep my eyes off women. Oh, Lord, that Winston. Oh, smell that. Oh, God, what I'd give for a pale male. At Jim Daniels. No, it's Jim Beam, ain't it? And Jack Daniels. I'm sorry about that. Boy, Lord, have mercy. Oh, I'd like to have a big drink. Well, buddy, we're not telling you to stop drinking. We're just saying change brands. Don't stop drinking. Just get you a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Pull her down in D and head right on to heaven. So they struggle and they struggle and they're driving and they're driving. And they're going to church with people who's got automatic. Get in there. Praise God. Man, I wish I was like that. Boy, I was that way. It just seemed like they go through so much stuff and it don't shake them. Just seemed like they're just... You need to change transmissions. Notice this. In our own nature, we could never be Christians. That's the reason today we have so many calling themselves Christians and living any kind of life. They're never experienced that born again. That's something that changes you, that takes the life out. Like pulling the blood out of a man that's got a certain type of blood and putting another type in him. It's pulling the old life out of the man, injecting the life of Christ in the believer. Then he becomes a new creation. He's a new creature. And I'll add this with an automatic transmission. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are all struggles over, Brother Donnie? Well, in one sense, yes. As far as the nature, it's finished. The nature is behind the veil. The Shekinah light has struck your soul. Not save or redeem the old nature. Let me close. Smyrnian churches. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God, by his death, the shed blood, bought back his own. He bought back the spoken word, seed, bride. My sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow me. You always were a man. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That is impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind, and there is no change in species. This is why God saves your own nature, gives your own nature the Holy Ghost. Satan will have a claim on you through eternity. Because he's the originator of that first sin nature. Can't you see why when your sins are remitted, God lays your sins on the head of the devil, and there they wait on him to the judgment. You say, how can that be? Because he's the originator of sin. It was his sin before he taught you into doing it. So it actually belonged to him first. And then when he taught you into doing it, then you become partaker of his sin. But it wasn't yours in the first place. Amen. It was his. Notice this. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me to help him to see it. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh. It didn't hit you. This is pre-salvation. This is pre-conversion, pre-Holy Ghost. Now let me read it to you. Keep in mind, this quote I'm fixing to read you is before you were born again. Before you became filled with the Holy Ghost. As we were in the thoughts of God, then expressed in flesh. Thoughts of God expressed in flesh, pre-new birth, pre-baptism of the Holy Ghost. There had to come a day when we would hear his voice. Oh my goodness, you mean we were thoughts before we heard his voice, Brother Randy? We were thoughts. This is pre, oh hallelujah. This is pre-Holy Ghost. We were in the thoughts of God and expressed in flesh. There had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word. And hearing that voice, friends, here's the new birth to the elect. Hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us. Brother Phil, not that we was a child of the devil by seed and we heard this foreign entity calling us and he was going to change us from being a child of the devil to become his child. That's not the scriptural story. You heard your Father's voice. If God were not your Father, he would have been a stranger to you. But you heard your Father's voice. And hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us. And recognize that we are the sons of God. Amen. We heard his voice. Oh no. Yes, sir. And we cried out, as did the prodigal son. You understand what you were? Prodigal seeds of God in a hog lot. But one day you heard his voice, the voice of the Father, and we cried out, as did the prodigal son, save me, oh my Father. I am returning to thee. Let's stand together. Then when that happens, that old man is dead. The new man moves in with all of his furniture. So he kicks out all the old man's furniture. Temper, arrogance, strife, hatred, so on and so on and so on. Because the old man is dead. But see, the deeds of the old man are still in the house. So you go through this process of being sanctified to where you're laying aside all this furniture of the old man. First thing gets rid of is the TV. Cleans out the music cabinet, cleans out the movie cabinet. And he starts setting up new furniture. Oh, that wall would be perfect for, let's put this arrangement here of peace, peace, happiness, and love. Oh, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'll do this vase. Oh, I'm going to fill this vase full of flowers of goodness.
Let's go into the bedroom now. In the bedroom, I'm going to make this place absolutely wonderful. Go into the kitchen, I'm going to stock all the cabinets. My goodness, what's them labels on them groceries? Malachi 4, 5, 6, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, St. John 14, 12. Oh my goodness, what groceries? Oh, she's going to be fat and sassy. Oh my. Fill the cabinets with good things. Fill the water. Oh, clean out all this old beer and all this alcohol stuff. Fill all this refrigerator with good bottled water. Bottled water, that bottled water, St. John 7:37. If any man believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, your own brand of bottled water. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the new man moves in with all of his furniture. And you start inviting folks over for fellowship. And they walk in and say, wow, this feels different. My goodness. My. This is something. I remember when that old guy lived here. Oh, yeah, he had beer bottles strung over in the house. We left and never got the smell out of it, but we got it fumigated finally. You are so different. You're not even the same person. You're right. I'm not. But don't you miss that old life? Not for a minute. That old guy's dead. And all of his furniture was kicked out and hauled to the dump. Now we play tapes in this home. We pray, we read our Bibles. And when we can't go to church, we stream. We really make our phone a smartphone. We stay off filthy sites. It's amazing you got smartphones and dumb owners. Well, praise the Lord. So we heard his voice and we responded. I know I went a little long this morning. I wasn't going to apologize, but I ain't going to do it. By nature, your old nature died. Now you're born again. Maybe there's some of you today. But that hasn't happened to you yet. It can happen right now. This very moment. If you're willing to let God take that old man and lay it on the altar. Now, you want to hold on to your free moral agency? Here's one of the very few things it's good for. Submit to God. Let your will take that old nature of yours and lay it on the altar. Let the fire of God kill it. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord God, truly, those that are standing here today and those that have heard this, if this has happened to them, they are a miracle. The greatest miracle that ever happened. Must have been something when you span the universe. Scientists still finding depths of it that they never knew existed. Stars and galaxies. Just in the last month, they found a gigantic blue planet that was out there that they had never seen before. And it was so big, and I thought it was amazing how they found it. They found it through reflected light. A light from a galaxy reflected through the mirror. And as it reflected through the mirror, it shined on this planet that they'd never seen before. And the way it looks in the galactic measurement, that planet itself looks as big as some galaxies are. And they're still finding more and more and more. And yet, Lord, maybe a little son or daughter of God stands here today. If they was to pass, it wouldn't make the newspaper. The flag wouldn't be flown at half-mast. We'd have a funeral maybe for them and sing some songs and I'd say some words over them. Praise God. But it made news in heaven when they got saved. Because God performed a miracle in that little saint's heart. And they're still a living miracle today. Lord, if there's some here that this hasn't happened to them,
They love you. They go to church. They believe this word is true. But this miracle has never happened to them. May you help them, Lord Jesus. May the nature of the world be able to die, every speck of him. And may they be born again with another nature. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. You love him with all your heart, saints. Oh, isn't he so wonderful to us? You see it. You understand. Does it make sense to you? The new birth. To be redeemed, truly redeemed. What it means. Well, I imagine that he must have been wondering all of his life. He must have felt so odd his entire life. Until one day he saw something flying over the barnyard, which had 6-foot wings, soaring in the heavens, looking with her eyes. And he saw in her something like he wanted to become. What was it? His mama. And she screamed down to him, "Son, you're not a chicken. You're an eagle. You always was an eagle. Mama, what can I do? What can I do? Just jump. I'll get you." Imagine him trying to the pastor rooster started through the church. "It's a colt! It's a colt! Ah, 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 ah. It's a colt! It's a colt!" And the mama hen said, "You better stay away from that. It's a colt." It didn't look like no colt to him. If you can understand what I'm saying, it's like he could see himself in her, or herself reflected in him, or both. It sure didn't look like no cold to him. Oh, Brother West, when he was able to leave that barnyard and he finally got the setting in his wings. He always wondered why he had them wings like that. It looked so odd in a barnyard. They wouldn't fit very well in a hen house, would they? But now he knew why. He longed for something more all of his life. The prophet tells us, "God, rich in mercy, many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. Many of you remember when you was a child, there was something about you that longed for God. There was something in you then." Praise God. Aren't you glad you've left it? And people want me to leave this and go where? Go back to Pentecost? Go and follow them? No, thank you. One of the ministers I'm in a chat with for several other ministers sent us a chat yesterday. Several preachers from Canada to California or Arizona rather than just different places. His sister went through all the message from 47 through 65, listened to every take. He had her to write down every vision that Brother Branham seen like on the platform. Over 8,300 visions, and not one of them failed. So you want me to leave this? How many have you had? You want me to leave? Offer me something better. But I'll save you the time. There is nothing better. Down from his glory. Can't you see why he had to take your nature upon himself? He had to feel sexual temptation. He had to feel temptation for power, temptation for jealousy and all of this in order to become you, that you might become him. Let's sing together before we go. Down from his glory.
sing it now.
Ever living story, my God and Savior King, and Jesus was his name. Born in a his home, a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears.
Everybody now, let's sing it with all of our hearts. Let's make love today. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Branham is not Hebrews 13:8. Neither are we Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is Hebrews 13:8. Yesterday, Brother Greg hurt his back, sat and squirmed and wiggled in church last night, hurt all through church. Come up for prayer, laid hands on him, prayer was made, he woke up this morning at 5 o'clock, all of it was gone. We're serving a living God. Our sister was sick this morning with a headache. But she wanted to come to the house of God, believing God would make her well. We believe the same thing. We're not serving, friends, a God of yesteryear, a God who used to move. Our God is still alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's believe as we pray for these.
What condescension bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope inside. God gracious, tender, laid aside my soul.
us through. I never thought that it could be this way. I never thought
you today, Lord God. We bless your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Won't it be wonderful, saints, when all the born again gather together. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. We praise your holy name. Oh, can we just give him just a little bit more praise before we go. I'm going to let you go here momentarily. Oh, he's been so good to all of us. Done so very much for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going home. Sing it to him now. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. Hallelujah. I've always been stranger. Praise God. But now I'm going. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, soon the great recording in heaven will be shut off. The folks will shut down their iPhones, their droids, their computers. The service will go into the record books. I trust what I've said, the way I've presented it, has been pleasing to you today, Lord. I pray you'd be able to take it, help us, make us better people with it, Lord. May we leave this place, Father, with a greater determination to please you and serve you. Watch over us. Bring us back again at the appointed time. We love church, Lord. Thank you for church. Thank you for giving us the opportunity where we can come. I realize a lot of message folks can only have church once a week. I think, I just don't know what I'd do just to be able to have it once a week. I'm so grateful, Lord, we were able to have it as often as we did. Go with us now, Lord Jesus. Keep your people. Be mindful of those that are sick and needy till we all can gather that day at your table, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. Shake hands with somebody, would you? Tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. For those of you who can be with us Wednesday night, we'll be gathering here again. If not, we'll see you whenever you can gather with us again. Go in the fear of God. I love you with all my heart.
I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. I've always been a stranger. Now I'm going home. I'm going.